Witnessing is our lifeblood. In addition to witnessing from house to house and on the streets, many brothers and sisters have enjoyed good results when witnessing informally. In 1936, Conrad Flatui, who worked as a stoker on a ship, offered the mate a booklet. The mate, Paul Brun, accepted the booklet and read it the same night. "I immediately realized that this was the truth," Paul said, "and the booklet showed me the difference between true and false religion." As Paul learned more, he started to witness to others, and during the war he conducted a Bible study with an interested sailor. As the sailor's Bible knowledge increased, he felt that he could not operate the onboard machine guns. When the authorities found out about the sailor's stand, they ordered Paul to stop the Bible study. He refused, so both he and the sailor were put ashore in London. A month later, that ship sank after being hit by a torpedo. Subsequently, the sailor went on to become a baptized brother, and Paul was invited to attend Gilead Missionary School. After graduating in 1954, Paul was sent to the Philippines as a missionary. Later, he returned to Norway and served as a circuit overseer, with the support of his wife, Greta. In 1948, Holger Abrahamsen worked transporting workers to and from a big dredge in Narvik Harbor. His motto was, "Witnessing is our lifeblood. Without it, we are dead." So Holger never missed an opportunity to witness to his passengers. One such passenger, Olvar Jupvik, became interested and told his fiancée, Anna-Lisa, about the Paradise Hope. Both got baptized, and later they raised their four sons as servants of Jehovah. One of them, Herman, served as a missionary in Bolivia with his wife, Lila. Herman and Lila returned to Norway and are now serving in the traveling work here. Taking care of Jehovah's sheep. During the 1960s and 1970s, important organizational adjustments were made at the branch office and in the congregations. Roar Hagen followed Marvin Anderson as the branch overseer. Then, in 1969, Thor Samuelson was assigned to oversee the branch. In 1976, a branch committee was appointed to take oversight of the branch, with Thor Samuelson, Cora Fjeldveit, and Nils Petersen being the first members of the Norway branch committee. In October 1972, bodies of elders were appointed to serve as spiritual shepherds in the congregations. Mature men in the congregations were helped to qualify to shepherd the many new ones who were accepting Bible truth. Since then, Jehovah has blessed his people richly as they have served loyally under his loving oversight. The Sami respond to the good news. For several decades, many pioneers and others have preached the good news to the Sami people, including reindeer herders deep in the mountain plateau of Finnmarksvidda. Although most Sami speak Norwegian, publishers at times have had to use interpreters. One of the first witnesses who preached extensively in the Sami language was Axel Falsnes, who was partly of Sami origin and spoke Sami, Norwegian, and Finnish. His sister, who lived in southern Norway, had come into the truth and had sent him one of our publications, which he read with great interest. There were no witnesses in the part of Troms where he lived, but in 1968, some pioneers and a circuit overseer visited Axel and helped him make spiritual progress. Axel proved to be a zealous publisher. He often put his bicycle in his rowboat early in the morning, rowed across the fjord, and then used his bicycle to get from one community to another. With his knowledge of the Sami language, Axel was able to give a good witness to Sami people in the far reaches of Finnmark. Axel was a hardy person, and he traveled long distances on skis to reach isolated homes. For example, late one winter he skied from Karasjok across a mountain plateau to Kautokeino and then on to Alta. All he could take with him was a simple backpack with a few personal items and some literature. After a few weeks, he arrived at the home of friends in Alta, having covered the entire distance of about 250 miles on skis. In the early 1970s, several Sami came into the truth. In Hammerfest, a Sami woman and her husband began studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. Soon, some of her relatives in Alta became interested. Arna and Marianne Milda, special pioneers in Alta, started a Bible study with these sincere people and often had 10 or 12 in attendance at the study. Eventually, about half of them became witnesses. "It is a challenge to preach in the Sami territory," says Hartvik Miena, a Sami pioneer in Alta who uses his snowmobile to reach isolated people. "The distances are great, and many of the people are bound by their tradition. But they are hospitable, and we have been able to start several Bible studies with them." Years of eager anticipation. There was a steady increase in publishers from the mid-1960s till the mid-1970s, but expectations regarding the year 1975 proved to be a test of faith for some brothers. When the Great Tribulation did not come in 1975, a few left the organization, and between 1976 and 1980, there was a slight decrease in publishers. Others who felt disappointed slowed down in their Christian activity for a while. How, though, did the majority feel about continuing in their service to Jehovah? "There was anticipation and some excitement with regard to 1975, admitted Hans Jakob Lilletvedt, "but my faith did not depend on it. We did not dedicate ourselves to Jehovah with a particular date in mind, so we just moved on without making any changes," said faithful, long-time witnesses Jan and Edith Johansson. "I am going to serve Jehovah forever," reasoned Leah Sirensen. "Whether the end comes in 1975 or later is not important." A new branch office. The workload at the branch increased toward the end of the 1970s. Thus, more Bethelites were needed, as well as additional residential and workspace. Consequently, in 1979, the governing body approved plans to build a new branch office outside Oslo. Toward the end of 1980, the brothers found a well-suited site at Itre Enebakk, about 20 miles from the center of Oslo. In order to keep construction costs to a minimum, volunteers were invited to build the complex. It was quite a challenge to acquire construction equipment, provide food and accommodations for nearly 100 people, and coordinate the entire project. A total of more than 2,000 local and foreign brothers and sisters offered themselves freely. Many helped out by donating potatoes, vegetables, fruit, bread, eggs, fish, clothing, and equipment. Some felled trees in the forest, while others cut the logs into planks at the small sawmill on the construction site. Countless others helped by making loans and giving monetary contributions. Some skilled workers could help only for a limited time, and much of the work had to be done by unskilled volunteers. John Johnson, who was responsible for all electrical installations, describes how inadequate he and other construction overseers felt. "The volunteers learned how to do the work and did a remarkable job," says John. "It was amazing to see how problems were solved and how it all turned out. It was evident that Jehovah God was directing the construction." Thanks to the diligence of the volunteers, the generosity of the brothers and sisters, and the blessing of Jehovah, the work proceeded well. Construction started early in 1981, and on May 19, 1984, during the visit of Milton Henschel of the governing body, the new branch office was dedicated. The construction project itself was a source of great joy and brought the Norwegian brothers closer together. In the years after the building project, many of the construction volunteers enrolled as auxiliary or regular pioneers. Speeding up Kingdom Hall construction. It was back in 1928 that four of the Fjeldvedt brothers constructed the first hall for Jehovah's worshippers in a suburb in Bergen. By the beginning of the 1980s, several congregations had built or purchased their own kingdom halls. But many congregations were still conducting meetings in unsuitable rented halls. During the branch construction, some brothers discussed how they could speed up the construction of Kingdom Halls. They knew that teams of brothers in the United States and Canada were erecting quickly built Kingdom Halls, and they wondered, if the brothers over there can do it with Jehovah's help, why can't we? Some brothers worked on drawings and formulated specific details, and after a pilot project in Ashim in 1983, they erected three quickly built Kingdom Halls in 1984, in Rjukan, Stavanger, and Alta. How did they do it? Basically, by preparing the foundations in advance and then by carefully coordinating the volunteers, skilled and unskilled, in such a way that the various phases of construction could be completed in just a few days. During the next 10 years, about 80 quickly built Kingdom Halls were constructed in Norway. Later, Norwegian brothers traveled to Iceland to help build three Kingdom Halls. Even though most of the congregations in Norway now have their own Kingdom Hall, there is still much to do in this field. Old halls need to be renovated, some halls need to be expanded, and new halls still need to be built.